Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way over here at the Lighthouse on an early morning. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sunrise. Just as red as the sky could possibly be as the sun is sticking its head up. A little bit of foggy over here this morning, but it's a nice morning. And looking forward to sharing the message with you today. You've tuned me in, by the way, of WION, I-1430 AM. Or 92.7 FM over in the low Ada area, 100.3 FM. And you tune me in at 8 o'clock, and I welcome each of you to our broadcast this morning. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, M106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And I welcome each of you to the broadcast today. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts. These stations are being streamed live by the way of the web. And that's something very special in this modern day. It can go all over. And others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10. Those of you that's watching by the way of my website. My website is PastorKenHarger.com. Take your mouse and bring it up over Messages from the Lighthouse. And then when you bring your mouse up over that, it'll say Current Media. And then click on the top one of the Current Media, and that is the message for today. Whatever way you join me, dear people, I'm just so glad to be able to be a part of the time with you today. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial expenses. So a big thank you to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she's from Orleans, Michigan. A big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area. They've been a sponsor longest time of all my sponsors. To Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belding area, and Bill's been going through some physical problems, but trust in the Lord, he's going to get better. And to Shadow Community Church, that's why I pastored for 50 years, still attend there. I haven't been able to stay for all three services, but we go Saturday night, then we go Sunday morning at 9. And because of our age and our pain that we have in our body, then we go home after that service. So give you an invitation to attend. Saturday night starts at 6:30. Sunday morning starts at 9 o'clock. And the contemporary service is at 10:45. We also have a campus in Greenville. That's at the old Calvary Baptist Church, corner of Grove and Luray Street. And that service at the Shiloh Greenville is Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. I want to share a big thank you for K.N. Kingsinger picking out my music today. She's been very faithful in doing that for many, many years. And I really appreciate her being able to do that. So as we get started this morning, my message for today is get over it. Get over it when you fail. All of us are going to fail. The bottom line that I'm going to bring about through this message is when we fail, we want to fail forward. We want to keep on moving. We just don't want to lay there and complain and have a pity party and find fault with everybody else. So we're going to say, get over it this morning. And I think this will be a good message for us to be able to listen to. So as we get ready to listen to the message for this morning, I got a song that I want to share with you. And this song is saying, maybe sometimes when we fail, we just are so discouraged. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of this COVID-19 thing. It's been a long time, folks. Had a funeral again this week, two funerals, and it's so hard for people to be able to get together and even grieve as they would really like to. So this song is going to tell you, I don't want to live. But it's the idea that in Jesus, we find every reason we should want to live. So we'll get started with this song and looking forward to sharing the message with you. And God bless each one of you this morning in his special way. And we'll give him the praise. God bless.
I get discouraged, wondering what I can do. Troubles seem to pile up on me with no answer in view. Then a voice within me whispers, there is one who still cares. Get down on your knees and call on Jesus. He will answer your prayers.
I don't want to live
no more,
no more,
live no more
without
live
Jesus.
Without my Lord.
I don't want
the heartaches
or the woe the sin makes. Following me,
following me.
I don't want to
live no more,
no more,
live no more
without
no without my Lord.
I have a life
eternal
in a home
supernal
waiting for me,
waiting for me.
Ones are gone.
Greater love is waiting for me at the end of this road. I've a place just waiting for me at the end of this road.
I don't want to
live no more,
nor live no more
without
live
me.
Without
my Lord.
I don't want the
heartaches
or the woe the
sin makes.
Following me,
following me.
I don't want to
live no more,
nor live no more
without
live
no
without my Lord. I have a life
eternal
in a home
supernal
waiting for me,
waiting for me.
That's pretty special, folks. That's a good song to get us started with this morning for the message I have to share with you. The idea that you can be going through a terribly difficult time and things seem to be closing in on every side. We've all been there. And at the same time, we just need to, as the song said at the very first, get on our knees and just pray to the Lord Jesus. A little hard for me to get on my knees this day and age, but still, it's a good thing to do. Just pray to Jesus. And you know, he'll give us the strength that we need. The reason that we have, when we go through difficult times, as we've been going through in COVID-19, is the idea that when our faith is strengthened, and when we have faith, and understand that God's going to get us through whatever it is that we're facing as an individual, then we can be sure that God's going to take care of us. So let's just have a word of prayer. And once again, I want to remember you, the listening audience, every one of you that's tuned me in, wherever you're listening from this morning, I want to remember you. You're the reason I'm over here at the Lighthouse. Putting this message together is to share it with you today. And also, if you have an unspoken request, I'll come to a place in my prayer where I remember all unspoken requests. And if you would just focus on whatever that need is in your life, I don't need to know what the need is. You know what it is, and God knows what it is, so I'm going to ask God to help you with it. So let's bow together for a moment. Dear Father, once again we come to you. And we come to you in that beautiful name of the Lord Jesus, of that beautiful person, your Son, that you so loved us so much that you sent him into our world. And Lord Jesus, you loved us so much that you even endured the pain of the cross to give us the forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life. So, Father, we come to you today. We come because we know you are the source of our life. There's things that we've all been going through this week. They've been very difficult. But knowing that you care and knowing that you, we can come to you in prayer, Father, helps us tremendously. So right now I want to pray for the listening audience. Each one that's got me tuned in, wherever they are, I want to pray for them and for their family. That you would just bless them in a very special way. Father, I don't know what all they're going through. I don't know what kind of a week they've had. Sometimes it's been a very difficult week. Sometimes the week's a little easier than others. But Father, I pray that you would be with each person and minister to them and their need of them individually and the need of their family according to your will. May it be physical. It may be spiritual. It may be financial. Could be emotional. Could be something that's a grieving process because they've lost a loved one or a friend. Could be they're battling some of the most difficult things in their life with a sickness of cancer or whatever else it might be. Dear Father, I pray that they might sense your presence and that you care for them. Some in the listening audience have an unspoken request this morning, Father. And as I shared with them, I don't need to know what it is, but Father, you know, as they focus on that unspoken request right now, I just pray you would be pleased to meet their need according to your will. Father, you always meet us at the point of our need, and you never leave us where you find us. You always take us forward, and I thank you for that. So, Father, would you give the wisdom that is needed? Would you give the understanding that is needed? Would you give the direction that is needed for every unspoken request this morning? And I will thank you and praise you for that in the wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, folks, the message this morning, I want to start out as a foundation, a thought first. We're going to talk about the idea that we are called to run a race for God. And I want us to deal with some scripture that talks about how to run the race, how we ought to hang in there as a Christian and do the things that we need to do. And we need to run the best race that we're capable of running. And then from this foundation verse, this foundation period, I want to move on to that some people ran away from God in the Bible. Some people weren't running for him any longer. They were kind of running from him. And we'll talk about that as we move along in our message. The message for today, get over it when you fail. I think the foundation is the idea of running a race. God uses this idea of running a race in a very positive thing to teach us how to run the race as a Christian life and to teach us how to win. He doesn't just want us running. He wants us to win. In Hebrews chapter 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. What is that cloud of witness? It's recorded for us in Hebrews 11. All of the men and women of Old Testament that is listed there that conquered some things because of their faith in Jesus. And we see that it's worked in the past. You see that they've been able to accomplish things they never would have been able to accomplish because of faith in the Lord Jesus and in God. Therefore, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us, clings to us, and let us run with endurance. That's a powerful word. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. God is reminding us that we need to run this race that he's set before us. And God has an individual race for each one of us to run. And that's good to know. And we want to do the very best we can. And there's other people in the past that we can look back to, and then someday in the future, others will look back to you and I in the race that we won, that we run and won. And that's something that is very special. It's going to be because of faith. But you know, he's saying, I got to tell you right up front, God is saying, it takes endurance. It takes you giving your very best that you're capable of doing, and then trusting by faith in this God, mixing the things that you're doing by faith in the promises of God. You know, just before I came over here, every morning I try to ride the bike between 2 and 2.5 miles. You know, when I got on the bike seat this morning, I thought, I don't want to do this. I had a very busy day yesterday, a very hectic day yesterday. And you know, at 85, you don't like to have hectic days. You don't like to have them at any age, as far as that's concerned. But you know, I had a very hectic day. But you know what? I still did the word endurance. We need to do this. So I rode the bike. And you know, when I got off on the bike, I was glad I did. And I'll be glad later today because it seems to help me when I do that. Listen to what God says. Do you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain the prize. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. But we have something imperishable in heaven waiting for us. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, that lest after I preach to others, I myself would be disqualified. God wants us to know, folks. He wants us to run this race the best that we can. And he wants us to do it with some kind of determination. And it may mean you have to do some self-control things to make sure you do it. That's what I did on the bike seat this morning. Yeah, it'd be easier not to ride it today, but let's get with it. Let's do it. I'm glad I did. In 2 Timothy 2:5, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes. I'll get it right in a minute. Unless he competes according to the rules. God's got certain rules he wants us to run by. And he don't want us cheating. He don't want us not giving it our very best. One of the rules he's told us so far that he wants us to do is a realization that we need to run with endurance and we need to run for the finish line. We're just not running around in circles. In Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 14, not that I have already obtained this or already am perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, and this is what we got to do if we're going to run the race, forgetting what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. Can I say that again? Forgetting what lies behind and strain forward for what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. God's got a lot of information for you and I to know how to run that race. But I love the idea that we need to forget the past failures. We need to get over it. Come on, let's get over it. So we failed. Get up, dust yourself off, and let's get going for the Lord again. And he's telling us that we need to press on. You know what I've noticed in my Christian life and with working with other Christians? Oftentimes, we quit just about the time there's going to be a victory. Just about the time that we're going to be successful. Got to have something in our mind that says, it's time to press on. It's time to move forward. It's time to, I love that word, strain forward. Not doing it just without any purpose, but knowing that there is a purpose for it. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7 through 9, Paul, when he came to the end of his life, I want to be able to say what he said. And I want you to be able to say what he said. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. Can I say that again? I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is stored up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who long for his appearing. Do your best to come to me quickly. I think God is reminding us that we need to run this race with the idea that we're going to cross the finish line. But you know, the reality of life is there may be times in your life and times in my life when we feel just like we're not accomplishing what we wanted to accomplish. We don't seem to be able to do it. We're like the song was talking about. We want to give up. And God doesn't want us to give up. But I want to share with you some people of the Bible. And that's what I love the Bible for. It tells us the time there were successes. But it also tells us the time there was failures. And that's to help us. I don't think God dwells on the failures. And I don't think God wants us to dwell on the failures. He wants us to move forward. And we just talked a little while ago, and I just want to pick up a couple, three things from Jonah. The realization that Jonah, this prophet of God, and he was called the runaway prophet. Because God told him something to do. Go to the city of Nineveh. Tell them in 40 days God's going to destroy the city. Unless you repent, God's going to destroy the city. Because the wickedness has come up before him, and he can't stand it any longer. Jonah didn't want to do that. So you know what Jonah did? He ran from the presence of the Lord. How can you run from the presence of the Lord? Have you ever heard this scripture from Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12? I love this, and we need to have this in the bottoms of our hearts so when we get to that period of time where we're thinking about running from God instead of running to God, we need to hear what the scripture says. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me will be about me is night. Even in darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day. For darkness is as light with you. So where are you going to hide from God? How are you going to hide from God? How are you going to flee from God? You know what? I wouldn't want to learn this lesson the way Jonah wanted to learn it. I'd rather just say, God, I believe that. I believe that you are true. Your presence is everywhere. And I can't run from you. And matter of fact, God, I don't want to run from you. But Jonah had to learn this lesson when they throwed him overboard in that boat that he was on. And they throwed him overboard and a big fish swallowed him up. And finally, in the tummy of that fish, Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. He realized he shouldn't be running from the Lord. And I love it that God came to him, and Jonah was very upset about the fact of being angry because God forgave the people of Nineveh. Matter of fact, he said, Lord, Lord, I just want to die. That's why I didn't want to go in the first place. I know you would do this. Listen to what he said about God. That's why I tried to run away in the first place. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God. You have a lot of patience and always ready to forgive and to reconsider your threats of destructions. So now, Lord, take my life. I would rather be dead than alive. You know what, folks? God's got something for Jonah that he needs to learn. He needs to learn, get over it. You know, Jonah was angry at God because he forgave other people. And Jonah needed forgiveness himself for the anger that he had. And God, I believe his message would be to him, Get over it, Jonah. Learn from this time and have a sense of responsibility for this time. I think that one of the things that I would like to have us consider to learn from Jonah would be the idea of, are you angry with God? How can you be angry with God and win? I've known people in my years of ministry that were angry with God because something happened in their life, and they realized that they were just angry at God. The second man I want us to be our teacher this morning is a man by the name of Moses. Moses' childhood was not very good time. Moses' childhood was very difficult. And one day, we find that he was, as a little baby, is supposed to be put to death. And I like to think of this about Moses' life. It's divided into three sections of 40 years each. He lived to be 120 years old. I don't know how he did that. He was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He was a Hebrew, but he was raised as an Egyptian. The Pharaoh's daughter kind of adopted him. And then one day he killed an Egyptian, and he knew he was in trouble, and so he ran away. He ran to a far desert, and there he married a man's daughter, and the man was a shepherd along with a priest as well. And he took care of the man's sheep. And he was going through the everyday routine of his life, caring for the sheep of his father-in-law. Let me read it to you in Exodus 3:1. Moses was taking care of the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of the Midians. As he led the sheep to the far side of the desert, he came to Horeb, the mount of God. The message of the Lord appeared to him. There was a flames of a fire coming out of a bush. Moses looked, and although the bush was on fire, it wasn't burning up. Now, Moses had seen many bushes catch on fire. There comes some, they would be like a tumbleweed we used to have when I worked in the muck fields. And they get so dry that they just burst into flame, and they would disappear. It's on a desert. But this bush, Moses noticed, it was on fire, but it kept being on fire. It was burning and continued to burn. This got his attention. Why isn't this bush burned up? I must go over there and see what this strange sight. And when the Lord saw Moses had come over to see, God called to him from the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. Moses answered, here am I. God said, don't come any closer, and take off your sandals, because this place where you are standing is holy ground. I love that. Even in the middle of the desert, when God's presence is there, it's holy ground. Learn this from this morning. Any place where God's presence is holy ground. Take off your shoes. I am the God of your ancestor, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I've seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I've heard about them crying because of the slave drivers. And I know how much they've suffered. I've come to rescue them, Moses, from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them from a land to a good land of plenty of room for everyone. I've heard the cry of the people of Israel, and I've seen the Egyptians, the way they've been treating them. Now I'm sending you to Pharaoh so that you can bring my people, Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to him, God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring this people, Israel, out of Egypt? See, he felt very insignificant. And you know what? The reason he felt very insignificant is because when he was in Pharaoh's house, he was a pretty important person. But then when he ran away, now he's 80 years old. And he's just ready to probably to coast out the rest of his life. And God's saying to him, at 80 years, Moses, I got a job for you to do. I love the simple way that God got Moses' attention. The burning bush in the desert. And he called the place holy ground. He appealed to Moses with the pain of the suffering of the people that would be the people of Moses, the Hebrews. And he said that pain has come before me. He desired to rescue them and he was going to use Moses to do it. What we should learn from Moses this morning, folks. You try to run away if you can, but sooner or later, God's going to get you. He's going to see you where you are. And he's going to want you to do something. Now listen to what I want to learn from Moses. I want you to learn it also from Moses. You're never too old to do some work for God. You're never too old to trust God and to reach out beyond yourself. With that thought in mind, let's just take a few moments and listen to another song. And this song is teaching us it's better to obey God in what he tells us to do than to offer a sacrifice. Sometimes we just want a sacrifice, and sometimes we're running from being obedient to God, and we're running into difficulties that's going to cause a lot of pain within our life. Let's listen to this song, and then I'll be right back to share with you the rest of the message. Looking forward to giving you some more hope that there's an opportunity for you and I to do what God wants us to do. God bless you.
To obey is better than sacrifice. I don't need your money. I want your life. And I hear you say that I'm coming back soon. But you act like I'll never return. Well, you speak of grace and my love so sweet. How you thrive on milk but reject my meat. And I can't help weeping at how it will be if you keep on ignoring my word. Well, you pray to prosper and succeed, but your flesh is something I just can't feed. Cause if you can't come to me every day, then don't bother coming at all. La la la, la 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 la. To obey is better. Sacrifice. I want hearts of fire, not your prayers of ice. And I'm coming quick to give to you according to what you have done, according to what you have done.
Thank you.
I love that idea. God wants to do, he wants us to do things that we can do for him. Not just making sacrifices. Not just the idea of doing some point of time, spending a little bit of time with him. He wants us. He wants us as a person to live every day with a sense of his presence. But the biggest thing he wants us to do is when he tells us something to do, he wants us to obey. He's given us a race to run. And in that race, God isn't given us the idea that we can run away. You know, the disciples of Jesus followed him for 3 years or so. And Jesus, one day, as it's coming close to time for him to die, he had the disciples all together. And he told them something that was predicted in the Old Testament many hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 13, 7, there's a verse that says, "Arise, sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my friend, declares the Lord of the armies." Now listen to what he said. "Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." There are so many statements in the Old Testament spoken about the idea that you and I are considered to be sheep. It causes us to see the amazing love of God through the Lord Jesus, knowing that he really cares for each one of us. So here again, one day Jesus was speaking to the disciples, and he is telling them about his death. And all of a sudden, he went back and he picked up that portion of scripture from Zechariah. This is recorded for us in Matthew 26, verses 31 through 33. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will abandon me tonight. The scripture says, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep in the flock will be scattered. But after I'm brought back to life," Jesus said, "I'll go to Galilee ahead of you." Peter said to him, "Even if everyone else abandons you, I will never abandon you." Peter was really quick to speak. We'll talk about him in a few minutes. But, you know, he was quick to speak, and he's telling Jesus, "I'll never happen. I'll never abandon you." And Jesus is just letting the shepherd, the disciples know that he's their shepherd. You know, that this type of failure is different than what we've been looking at so far of Moses and Jonah. This is speaking about what we can learn from sheep. It's telling us that there's a reality here of the relationship between sheep and a shepherd. All through God's word, he spoke many times of you and I being his sheep. And remember, Jesus had been teaching people, and even big groups of people, when he was teaching them, "I am the good shepherd." I like the way he said it in John 10, 11 through 14. "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. A hired hand isn't a shepherd and doesn't own the sheep. When he sees a wolf come, he abandons the sheep and quickly runs away. So the wolf drags the sheep away and scatters the flock. He did this because he's a hired hand, not concerned about what's going on. And besides that, he's getting paid just to be there with the sheep. And he's not anything about the sheep. I am the good shepherd," Jesus said. "I know my sheep as I know as my Father knows me. My sheep know me as I know the Father." He's the good shepherd. The disciples are listening to what Jesus is saying, and they're thinking, "Why would we run away? He is a shepherd. We're going to stick with him. We need the shepherd. And I know I need the shepherd today. I need him to guide my life." The disciples did scatter because they came, and recorded for us in Mark, they came to arrest the Lord Jesus, and all of the disciples abandoned him and ran away. So what we need to learn today from the disciples, I believe, is that sometimes things happen where we want to run away from Jesus instead of running to Jesus. And we need to hear him say these words loud and clear to each one of us. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus is saying, I'm willing to die for you. And maybe that's what you need to hear this morning. You need to hear that Jesus is your good shepherd. Sometimes we feel like running away, but we need to know that he really cares for each one of us. And he wants us to know that that care is something that is very special. With that thought in mind, I want to talk a little bit about Peter. Now, remember what Peter said? Even if everyone else abandons you, I will never abandon you. So when they arrested Jesus, Peter followed from a distance. They took Jesus into the judgment hall to bring the accusations against him. Peter was in the outer court, and there was a bonfire. And Peter was a cool evening, so Peter was standing by the bonfire. And all of a sudden, one person said to him, aren't you one of his? Aren't you a follower of this one, Jesus, who they have in there judging? And Peter denied it. By the way, Jesus had told Peter, Peter, you're going to deny me three times tonight before the rooster crows. And all of a sudden, Peter's there by the fire, and somebody else says, I seen you with him. You're one of his. And Peter says, I don't know him. And he denied him the second time. Sometime later, it even said it was a little a young person, came and said, your language sounds like you. You talk the way he talks. And this time, Jesus denied with a curse. And I keep saying, I told you twice already. I did not know him. And when he said it the third time, all of a sudden, out there in the wilderness of the city there, a rooster went, cock-a-doodle-doo, cock-a-doodle-doo. And all of a sudden, Peter remembered what Jesus said. You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. Let me tell you what Peter did. He went out from that place and he wept bitterly. He was so disappointed that he had failed the Lord Jesus. And he wept bitterly. I got to say this, folks, even though I don't like to say it. Peter's going to have to deal with that bitter feeling that he feels that causes him to weep so hard. He's going to have to deal with that for a period of time. He's going to have to deal with that through the trial of the Lord Jesus, through the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, and through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus is resurrected, the disciples were together and some women who had just been to the tomb and found it was empty. And they even met the Lord Jesus. They came and told the disciples, we've seen him. He's alive. He's alive. Now that was good news. But can you imagine what's happening in Peter's heart? He's alive. He's alive. And he said, the women said to the disciples, you're supposed to go to Galilee. And when you go to Galilee, he's going to be there and he's going to meet with you. And so Peter goes to where they're supposed to go. Disciples waited a little while, and Jesus didn't show up. And then the disciples said, Peter was a spokesman. He said, I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. And the other disciples said, we're going with you too. That was Thomas and Nathaniel and the Zebedee's sons, John and so on, and Simon Peter, and they all went fishing. And that night, and all that crying, they still a broken heart. You know what I want to learn from Peter? When we mess up, it does cause us to feel the weeping inside and outside. But listen to a promise God gives us in his word. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. And that's what I want us to deal with next, is it comes to be morning time. Boy, Peter's been so disappointed that he failed the Lord Jesus. And now he's failed him again because Jesus told him to wait until he got to Galilee. And Peter and some of the other disciples have been out fishing. Peter had said, I'm going fishing. Going back to his old way of life. And John records this for us in John chapter 21. After Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. They told him, we're going with you, Jesus. So they went out and they got in the boat. But they didn't catch a thing that night. Now they use nets, and they were good fishermen. And all of a sudden they have no fish. They couldn't catch a single thing. And like this morning when I came over here to the lighthouse and seen that great big red sun coming up from the as it began to rise. As the sun was rising, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. And Jesus asked them, friends, haven't you caught any fish? Have you caught any fish? They answered, no, we haven't. He told them, throw the net on the other right side of the boat, and you'll catch some. So they threw the net out and were unable to pull the net in because there were so many fish. They probably caught one of the biggest nets of fish they'd ever caught. The disciple who Jesus loved, which is John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. They hadn't met him yet from resurrection. It's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put back on his clothes that he had taken off, and he jumped into the sea. And others, disciples, came with the boat and dragged it, the net full of fish. It went far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they were on shore, they saw a fire that Jesus had going. They saw fish being cooked, and they saw a loaf of bread. I love this story. I love it. I love it because this is Jesus saying, Peter, you messed up, but I'm not going to let you live any longer in that messed up business. I'm here to bring you restoration. And he provided everything for them. There they are having breakfast and enjoying the fish that Jesus had already cooked for them. And then it says this in chapter 21 of John, verse 17. Can you imagine how sad Peter felt? Because all of a sudden Jesus said to Peter, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? And Peter answered, Lord, you know I love you. But all of a sudden, when Jesus said to Peter the third time, Peter felt sad because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? So Peter said, Lord, you know everything. There he is. Now he's got the thing the way it needs to be. Lord, you know everything. You know what he's thinking about everything? You know that I denied you 3 times. And now you've asked me the third time, one for each time I denied you. Peter, do you love me? And Jesus, I'm here to tell you that I love you. Then Jesus says to Peter, Peter, you know, he says, I guarantee you this truth, after he told him to feed my sheep. Every time he asked Peter, do you love me? He gave him something to do. Then Jesus said this to Peter, I can guarantee you this truth. When you were young, you would get ready to go where you wanted to go. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will lead you, will get you ready to take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to show by what kind of a death Peter would bring glory to God. After saying this, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, follow me, follow me. You know what, folks? That's the same message Jesus gave to Peter when he first met Peter. Follow me. I'll make you to become fishers of men. And you know something, dear people? In the book of Acts, it's recorded that after this time of this encounter with Jesus, and Jesus told him to feed my sheep, one day Peter stood up and he preached in the book of Acts. And 3,000 people believed in Jesus. He was feeding the sheep. The lesson I want to learn from Peter, which I'll spend the rest of the time that we have just a few seconds left, is that you and I need to fail. When we fail, we need to fail forward. And that's what we can learn from Peter. Fail forward, and even though you fail, make sure that you're doing those things that God has called you to do. Got a song I want us to listen to in closing, and it says, you better run to Jesus. Don't run from Jesus. Run to Jesus. Here we go. God bless you. Have a good week.
You better run on to meet your Lord.
You better run.
If you would see him some morning,
you better
run to meet him in the morning.
The day will come, my times will be no more. Some will never make the heaven sure. If you want to reach that happy land, you've got to
hurry, hurry, join that Christian band.
You better run.
You better run on to meet your Maker.
You better run.
You better run on to meet your Lord.
You better run.
If you would see him some morning,
you better run to meet him in the morning.
You have heard the message has been told, how the streets are paved with purest gold, walls of jasper, gates are made with pearl.
Like it in this whole wide world.
You'd better run.
You better run on to meet your
Maker.
Well,
you better run.
You better run on to meet your Lord.
You better run.
If you would see him some morning,
you better
run to meet him in the morning.
You can't sit around and wonder why. Can't keep saying someday by and by. Now's the time to really raise your voice. You know you
won't have to worry if you're making your choice.
You better run.
You better run on to meet your Maker.
You better run.
You better run on to meet your Lord.
You better run.
If you would see him.